everybody, welcome to episode 454 of Good Luck High Five.
That's right, you're listening to a podcast that's for you if you play Magic the Gathering. Whether you are super excited for these new commander collections coming out, or you're very excited about the World Championship and watching it this coming weekend, we are here for you.
I'm one of your hosts, Maria.
I'm another one of your hosts, Megan.
And speaking of that World Championship, we're going to get you ready with an all-comprehensive, I didn't need the word all in front of that, but I just felt
all-comprehensive.
We just need to double down on it. Viewer's guide to the World Championship.
Yeah, I'm super excited.
If you're like, who the heck are these players? Why should I care about them? What kind of decks can I expect to see? We've got you covered.
We're going
to
talk about all of it because the answer is lots of people who you should know about. Lots of decks you should know about. A standard.
Standard. Will we have more than one deck in the tournament?
Remains to be seen.
Yeah, and we're also going to update you on our personal draft journeys. Last week we talked about the fact we were like, we cannot get to seven wins. What's going on?
Well, the good news is we did get to seven wins.
We did it.
Can we do it consistently? No. Okay. But we don't have to talk about that.
We'll show you our seven-win deck list, and we're going to give you an update on our Doritos Watch 2021. Yes. We found out we got to the bottom of the Doritos mystery.
Yes. We're, of course, talking about the nacho cheesier mystery that we discussed last week.
Famously.
Yes. The famous Doritos nacho cheesier mystery. That everybody knows about.
But before we do any of that, enormous thank you to everybody who supports the show. You make it happen every single week over on patreon.com/glhfmagic.
Yes, thank you so very, very much to all of our patrons, and especially those who became patrons in the past week.
Yay!
Thank you to Alvaro, Daniel, Emmett, and John.
Yay!
All of you are wonderful,
heroes.
Marvelous people who are preventing the sad trombone noise from happening.
Heroes of the realm, truly.
Yes. You are standing between all of our listeners and the sad trombone noise.
Yes, heroes.
Yes.
I mean, like, nobody wants to hear that.
To say it.
Nobody wants to say it. Yeah, you can check us out. We've got a Discord that you'll get access to. You get cool stuff that we ship to you. You get to be part of a community that makes a show of happiness happen every single week.
Yeah.
I'm like, why do you listen to Magic the Gathering?
Why do you listen to the Magic game? Gathering?
Good luck, high five.
It's just the gentle sound of cards shuffling.
Because it's a happy place where you go to have a good time talking about magic. You know what I mean? It's not every place that it talks about magic isn't like that. So we're happy that you help support this awesome community that we've grown over the past 10 years over on patreon.com/glhfmagic.
Maria.
Yes.
We also have other people to say. Specifically, Card Kingdom.
Card Kingdom.
Thank you so much to Card Kingdom, one of the wonderful sponsors of this show.
Yes.
They are just really fantastic people. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, we love them. You can check them out over at cardkingdom.com/glhf. Use that link. Say good luck, high five. They'll give you a sticker or token in your order for free. Super fast shipping. Excellent customer service. Excellent human beings, period.
Yeah.
And we'll give you anything you need for your magical life. They also have like giveaways when you go to their website that'll pop up to enter you for drawings for free store credit.
What?
So, you know.
You can pick what it is.
While you're there, might as well enter a drawing for some free stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Card Kingdom.
Nice.
All right, everybody, an update here on Draft Watch 2021.
Yes. Oh, my goodness, Maria.
Yes.
Literally, we did last week's episode.
Yeah.
And then I went, and my next draft, I got seven wins.
Yay!
Just by picking all of the cards that we were like, these are the cards you should pick.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, you know what? We should follow our own advice from time to time.
We really should. So mine is was a blue-black deck, this very first one that I made.
Yeah.
Two copies of Larder Zombie.
Pickle Boy. Don't sleep on him.
Don't sleep on the Pickle Boy. Shirt design coming soon. it had a Corpse Cobble, which I am in love with.
It's such a cool card.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Like, you just attack with all these zombies. They don't want to block them because they're like, they have decayed. They'll go away. And then, like, they do their damage, and before they go away, you just corpse cobble them together into like a 6-6. And you're like, great, here it is. A 6-6 with a menace.
You've got two copies of Startle in here, which we talked about.
So good. That card is so good.
Defenestrate. Mm-hmm. Morbid Opportunist. We knew that card was good, but I just love that card.
I put No Way Out in here specifically because we mentioned it.
Yeah, there you go.
And do you know what? Yeah, you make them discard and you get a little zombie.
Yeah. Get a fun zomb.
That Diagraph Horde, Bat Whisper, Revenge of the Drowned, which is another one that we had talked about.
Yeah, absolutely. I love Bat Whisper too.
Oh, it's so good. Those little 1/1 bats.
I keep going up on that card ever since we talked about it.
That bat's a little jerk.
Yeah.
It does a lot of work. This bat's a little jerk. Who does a lot of work?
Have you seen him twerk? That's the sound of a bat twerking.
I was imagining the bat. In my head, I was picturing the bat twerking like while you were making that noise.
Somebody please draw this and animate it. Send it to us at Gila Chip Magic on Twitter. Thank you.
Organ Hoarder, which we also talked about. So anyways, it was just quite good.
Yeah, that deck looks sweet.
That's, you know, a 2 Ecstatic Awakener, which is also just very good.
Classic blue-black draft strategy.
It went 7-1.
Very strong.
My one loss was shout out to the deck that went turn 2 Vampire Interloper, turn 3 the card that puts like a 1/1 counter on a vampire.
Vampire Socialite?
Maybe?
Yeah, the black-red one?
No, 2/2? Just the black one. 2 and a black I see on your end step.
That's right.
If the player lost life this turn, you can put a +1/+1 counter on a creature you control.
Yeah.
Or on a vampire you control. So turn 3 that. Turn 4, 2 more Vampire Interlopers. They Vampire Interloper aggroed me.
You can't be mad if you have that many.
Respect to that, you know?
Seriously. I love Vampire Interloper if you can get them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, it's a good card, so people draft it.
Here's a look at my 7-1 deck that I drafted too because I was just in a mood about it and I'm like, I'm going to get there. This one was green white.
Wow.
Green white coven. What a fun deck this was to play. I should say off the bat that I had one rare and one mythic. So I did have Sigarda.
Yeah. Sigarda is a sick card. And Catilda is also so good.
Very, very good.
Very, very good card.
Catilda, you can pay 6 mana to put a +1/+1 counter on all of your stuff, which is very good, obviously, for a billion
and
reasons.
And it helps it happen because it has human creatures you control have tap, add 1 mana of any of this creature's colors.
Exactly.
So that card, I've been wrecked by that card many, many times.
Yeah, you just got to kill it. Just got to kill it. I had 4 copies, full playset of Harvesttide Sentry.
I love it, Maria. This was one of the cards on our list.
This was on our list.
A 3-1. Coven, it can't be blocked by creatures with power 2 or less.
Right, exactly. Now, this is one that is easy to gloss over and not pick, but was huge in this deck because this deck was good at achieving Coven. And just like having a 3 power beater on turn 2, like that's just really good, period.
Yep.
2 copies of Gavinny Trapper, which I want to point out as being one of the cards we mentioned and very annoying, keeping things tapped down that you don't want to deal with.
Yep. 2 Shadow Beast Sighting.
Yep.
Great.
Skip 4/4/4.
Yeah,
flashback.
And a copy of Arise of the Ants, which I just love.
I just love those ants. I don't know what the heck the deal, the story of the ants is in Innistrad or why they're rising.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know anything about the rise of the ants, but I'm glad it's happening.
Yeah, I'm here for this rise
of the ants.
I'm glad
it's not happening here.
No. Oh, God.
But I'm glad that it's happening there.
And at least it's not the rise of the spiders, honestly.
Maria, don't talk about it.
I couldn't handle that.
Maria, there's a spider that lives on the ceiling of my living room. And I,
what? It just
I'm
lives
very,
there?
Yes, you know, it just moves. Sometimes I'll be like, you know, stretching or doing yoga or reading a book in my living room and I look up and there it is. And I try to be live and let live with spiders in my house. So right now, me and the spider in the living room are live and let live. But I look at it every day and I'm like, I just wish it didn't live on the ceiling.
I just couldn't handle it coming and dropping down into my hair.
What I imagine. That's what I picture all the time. So it is stressful because when it's there, I have to check for it every minute.
Yep.
I'm like,
yep.
Okay, still there.
Absolutely.
Okay, still there.
100%.
Okay, still there.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I loved this deck. Yes. It was great.
Beautiful. Dawnheart Wardens, also a really great card.
Very good card. Yeah. And Join in the Dance, another Celestia card in here.
Yep.
This I think to be kind of like an ideal version of the green-white deck.
Because
I
gorgeous.
Cut basically everything you could ever want. And it was so fun to play.
Nice.
Will it ever happen to me ever again? Probably not. But
hey, I believe in
you. We got there one time.
Exactly. I've also, since we talked, drafted Blue Green.
Yeah.
Which got 6 wins. I loved it.
I love
Blue Green. I didn't even have the great card that like puts a counter and taps something.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I did have the Root Coil Creeper and then like 4 copies of Shadow Beast Sighting.
Oh, yeah.
So I just made beasts forever.
I love it. Your graveyard's so huge and you just get to splash around in it.
You just flashback. Like, yeah. You can, like, if you have that on 2 and then you cast a Shadow Beast Sighting, you can, like, make the next one so
great.
Soon.
Great.
It's great.
And now for a Doritos update.
All right, Maria.
I went to the store.
Yes.
I'm like, okay, I remember Cooler Ranch. I remember Nacho Cheesier.
Yeah.
Not there. 100% not there. Yep. Confirmed through the website, confirmed in the store.
Yeah.
Don't exist. Yep. I ate them. I bought Cool Ranch, okay? Because obviously I'm not going to do this experiment without some science.
I ate them at your house.
You ate them.
Yeah.
And mouth science, I should say. And it was pretty obvious to me that Cooler Ranch has just become Cool Ranch.
Yeah.
Period. So they just...
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, they're just like, oh, wait, this is just better? We're just going to rebrand and take off the weird name and
so
put it back.
So Cooler Ranch became Cool Ranch.
Became Cool Ranch. Yeah.
And Nacho Cheesier?
Became Nacho Cheese.
Okay. So there they just took the lightly flavored ones.
And were like,
outed them.
Yeah.
Maria, you found a Washington Post article about this.
Yes, I did. I did. And this is from 1992.
Oh, boy.
So Marianne French is the author of this.
Oh, Marianne.
It starts with... It seems that America's least politically correct snack. I'm just going to start with that because
what?
I don't know what she's talking about. The chip you love to eat.
Doritos are the least politically like, correct snack. What?
Was there something happening with Doritos in 92 that was like, I don't know.
Okay,
the chip you love to eat but hate to smell being eaten has fallen victim to the times.
So Marianne just has a personal vendetta against the smell of Doritos.
Yes.
Is what I'm reading.
She continues,
okay.
Doritos, those triangular tiny tortillas with the in-your-face odor, have been olfactory sensitized. Oh my God. So she's talking
this
about...
woman, what?
Yeah, she's talking about changing it to make it less stinky. They say they'll be using more cheese and much less garlic to concoct that sticky stuff that coats nacho cheese
so
Doritos.
So she thinks that they used to be like full of...
Yeah. I do not remember Doritos being like, oh, specifically, these are terrible breath chips.
Yeah.
But maybe this change just happened and I never noticed it. Like this Doritos hole we've gone down is so deep. There is so much here. Like, it's just wild. Oh, my gosh. And it was newsworthy for the Washington Post in 1992. Okay, this is the... Oh, sorry. I think this is a quote from Doritos Advertising Company. Quote, women are more fragrance sensitive in my research experience. Teenage guys are human garbage disposals. Give them a bag of Doritos and they inhale it. We find young females are emotional gatekeepers. They love it, but they're dealing with the benefits in their minds. They're concerned with their breath. Oh, my God.
I found a photo of her.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay. What kind of person do you find Marianne French to be based?
On C-SPAN.org.
On this photo.
She looks
like a Doritos hater. I'm just going to say
it. She does look like a Doritos hater. She has a face that looks like she has a vendetta against snacks.
Well, Marianne French, your article has been raised from the dead. More than a decade later.
Yeah.
Thank you for your hard work in journalism. And that's your Doritos update.
Yep.
And now we come to the main topic of the podcast, your World Championship Viewer's Guide.
That's right. I thought you were going to be just like Magic again.
And Magic. We're back on Magic, everybody.
We're back to Magic, the main topic. Despite what you may think of this podcast.
Yes, not Nacho Cheesier, but this tournament's sure to be Nacho Cheesier. Coming up this weekend, the 8th through the 10th on twitch.tv/magic.
Yeah.
Check it out. We're doing draft on Friday, then standard the rest of the way home. 16 of the best players in the world battling for a $250,000 prize pool.
Let's talk about these players.
Let's do it.
Because there's 16 of them, like you said.
Yes, yeah, so, small tournament.
Yeah, we have Stanislav Sifka. Ivka.
Yeah.
He got an invite from being second in the Rivals season.
Yes.
So he didn't even have to go to any of the gauntlets. He just got invited right out there.
So he had it on easy mode. I'm going to put that in quotes, but didn't have to gauntlet it up.
Exactly. He's been around for a real long time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sifka has been playing Magic for basically forever. One Pro Tour return to Ravnica, which is exactly when we started playing Magic.
That's right, with Eggs.
Eggs.
Which is very banned.
Yes.
One of the most banned decks.
It's so interesting to like think about this old tournament with playing this Eggs deck, which if you don't know what it is, it's because they call it Eggs because you're cracking a bunch of tiny little artifacts to get incremental value and eventually... And
it just goes on forever.
Goes on forever.
It and goes on
grape shot
forever.
Their face to death or whatever. And it was a super annoying deck. Like people wouldn't even play it on Magic Online, which was all they had back then, kids. And because it just, you'd sit there clicking and you literally couldn't click through the combos of this deck fast enough to not time yourself out.
Oh my goodness. Delightful.
So that's what kind of deck we're talking about here that he won RTR with.
Yeah. He's also a chess master.
Yes.
And he's the leader of the Czech House, which has a lot of great players.
Oh, yeah.
Another one who is in this tournament, Andrei Strosky. Also, yeah, just really solid, like, place that's been churning out, like, lots of great decks for tournaments.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of great finishes for players.
Yeah.
A powerful team.
Yeah, just innovating, coming to some of those Mythic Championships with decks that have beat the metagame, essentially, coming out of that Czech House.
So I wonder, will we see Stanislav Sifka on something exciting?
Yeah, could
or
be.
Or will Mono Green just be the best thing? Okay.
Yeah, I know. I don't know
we
how
don't
you
know.
Beat it.
We don't know.
Next up, we're going to talk about Paulo Vitor Dama de Rosa.
That's right, Maria, your champion.
My champion.
For the tournament.
Yeah, you know him probably as PVDDR. He's your returning champion. That's how he's invited.
Yes.
He won last time.
Also, he got his invite via being at the top of the MPL standings.
I know. So nice. He qualified twice. Whew. Good job, Paulo.
Yeah, he's a member of the Hall of Fame. He is a world champion, like a world champ. He has 17 top finishes.
It's unbelievable.
2 wins, 24 GP top eights.
I mean, this is just, Paulo is, of course, one of the best players of all time.
Yes.
But people are talking about him and saying, if he wins this world championship, I think we just might be done saying who is the best player of all time. And
like
just
the
say
answer
it's
might
Paulo.
Just be Paulo.
Because people, you know, talk about, they're like, oh, should we talk about all these older players, you know, who, it was so different back then or whatever.
Yeah.
But there's always a conversation about who's the GOAT,
yes.
Right? And if Paulo wins this, I think we're done talking about
Everyone's
it.
Everyone's just like, okay, it's Paulo.
It's
Moving
Paulo.
On.
All right, great.
Yeah.
Done and dusted. So we'll see if he can take it down back to back. I mean, that's quite a hefty order.
It really would be a huge, huge deal. Obviously, it has happened before.
Yes.
Back in the day, Shahar Shenhar took down two of them back to back.
That's right.
But still, like... Wow.
And I picked Paulo not only because he's such a great player. It's a small field tournament, which generally like the better players tend to do better in these tournaments because there's less like variance from a million people playing. But also he's really good at draft and he's good at standard.
Yeah. Gosh, Maria, maybe I have to also pick him.
Oh, I convinced you.
You can't live again with the regret of not having picked Paulo.
Exactly.
That's
last time
real
I didn't.
Problem.
And I've regretted it every day of my life since.
Yes.
So,
well,
you know.
All right. We'll see what happens.
All right. Up next, Jean-Emmanuel Duprat.
One of my favorite players.
Love him.
He's so great.
He's great. So nice.
He was invited via the MPL Gauntlet. He won GP Warsaw in 2017. He's been, like, I think I would call him one of the more low-key members of the MPL.
Yeah.
And even of, like, all of these Mythic Championships where he got like second
he
on
always does
several
well.
Occasions.
Yeah. He's
like
consistently finishing
consistently very good.
Yeah. Very good player.
That just like flies under the radar.
Under the radar.
Because he also is like very like demure in person.
Yeah.
Like when you talk to him.
Understated.
Low key.
He's not like going up, blowing up Twitter with hot takes or whatever.
No.
He says he sometimes feels a little bit of imposter syndrome, but which I think is kind of ridiculous at this point. Like I don't mean it's ridiculous to feel it because we all do.
Yeah.
But because he's so, so talented, he's proven it so many times.
Yes, exactly. He's really... really very good.
We love Jean-Emmanuel Duprat. Wish him the best in this tournament, too.
So he is testing with some other French players for this.
French crew.
Yeah.
And he's a really good drafter. So we'll see if he can get his draft on here. I would kind of not be surprised
if he ends up in like the top four.
Yeah, that's just where he lives.
That's like what he does.
That's a good point.
Is he just kind of like,
he just lives in the top four, everybody.
He's just like chill, and then all of a sudden he's in the top four, and you're like, again?
There he is. Makes sense.
Yep.
All right, up next, Arne Hushenbett. Who the heck is this guy?
Yeah, I mean, he's been making a huge splash just this past season.
Big time.
With tons of great finishes. He got his invite via the Challenger Gauntlet. So he had a bunch of good finishes in order to even make it into the Challenger Gauntlet.
Yes.
And stuff like the Zendikar Set Championship.
Won the Kaldheim Championship.
Yeah, lots of stuff like that. Just great player.
Great player. He's having so much success here online, but before this even, he had 7 Grand Prix top eights, so he was playing paper,
yeah,
you know, back in the day, of course, and doing well at that as well. And his win when he qualified for this through the Challenger Gauntlet, I think, was one of my favorite moments in the past, like, year of Magic.
Yeah.
Seeing him win that, do you remember?
Yeah.
Like, he just jumped out of his chair and, like, ran circles around his room. Yeah. So cool.
Delightfully emotional.
Very emotional.
Wins.
And the youngest player playing in this tournament.
Very cool.
So,
yeah,
we'll see if young German can get it done.
Next up, we have Yoshihiko Ikawa, who won his invite via the MPL Gauntlet. He had a great metagame call with Jeskai Mutate.
Yeah, if you remember this moment.
This is just like where multiple players in this Japanese testing team,
yep,
just all made like the top eight.
Yeah.
And it was so dumb because you were like, they eliminated themselves.
Yes.
Like, no one else could eliminate them. They had to eliminate each other.
Yeah, it was.
And you're just like, I don't know. Just give them all invites at that point.
It was such dominance.
The only person who can beat them is someone who's also on the same team.
Yeah, that Jeskai Mutate list, what a fantastic call.
Yes.
Specifically for that tournament. And then those players all bringing it, all doing so well.
Yeah.
We were talking about it as unprecedented breaking of the format that we hadn't seen in years and years and years.
It was so good.
Yeah. So Yoshihiko Okawa, a member of that team, and now in this tournament because of that, has 2 Pro Tour top eights under his belt. Runner up at MC Cleveland back in 2019. So pretty recent there. Got 7th at Pro Tour San Diego back in 2010, which was his 2nd Pro Tour.
Nice.
So out of the gates, already doing well.
I wonder, you know, like, are we going to see him and Rei Sato testing together for this?
Yeah.
It would make a lot of sense. Yep. I would love to see them bring something as busted as that Mutate deck.
I know, that'd be so, so cool.
Yeah.
So cool. Up next, let's meet Ely Cassis.
That's right. Ely Cassis was first in the rival season.
Yeah, and Ely has been a longtime player, longtime grinder.
Absolutely.
Seeing him at GPs all the time back in the day.
Yep. In fact, he has 2 GP wins and 8 top eights.
Yeah. He's an old school player. He started playing when he was 13, played his first PTQ.
Wow.
And from there, it was, you know, that's all she wrote. He was already hooked.
Yep. Ely Cassis, it's really cool to see him at the World Championship because, like you said, he's been around for such a long time. Like, just one of those players that works really hard.
Yeah. And he's a really nice guy, too. And it's like, if you're going to a Grand Prix, Ely's going to be there and he's probably going to be in the feature match area.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
And he also brings cool decks a lot of the time.
Yeah, so cool to see him here making it to the biggest tournament of all.
Yeah.
From somebody who's like, I'm 13, I'm playing my PTQ, here I go. Which is, of course, I guess how everybody had to get here, but he's just been doing it for so long.
Next up is Seth Manfield, one of the best players currently playing the game, for sure.
Absolutely.
He was 3rd in the MPL season. Of course, he's your 2015 world champion.
That's right.
Member of the Hall of Fame. 10 top finishes, 4 PT top eights, and 1 win at Pro Tour Ixalan, 17 GP top eights.
Seth is basically the pick. If you don't pick Paulo, you're probably going to pick Seth.
Yeah.
Just guessing.
Because he's just an excellent player.
Yeah, Seth is one of the players who also has been playing for a million years. When he was little, he would go to his LGS and play, and people would call his wins little kid luck. How
rude.
Wrong they were.
Yeah, they really were.
Because Seth is pretty much a Magic and Games genius. Plays bridge. His parents are world championship bridge players.
What? Yeah. That's amazing.
So, like, it's in his family.
Love it.
And so he played bridge with Paulo a lot when they were growing up.
Oh my goodness, that's adorable.
Bridge tournaments. And now, like, Magic.
Can you imagine being like a like an older bridge player and just like these two like freaking kids like so plop down at your table, and then but then they proceed to just like
destroy
just
you.
Destroy you. Like just crush you, and you're like, what are these kids doing here? Get off my lawn.
What are these kids out there winning? Yeah, so
get off my bridge lawn.
Have you ever played bridge?
No.
Man,
we tried to learn it once.
We tried to learn it. It is
wildly complicated.
Very complicated.
Exceptionally complicated.
And we're Magic players saying this to you, okay?
Yes. Bridge, very complicated. Very complicated.
I do want to learn to play it still because I want to feel like I'm in an Agatha Christie novel, obviously.
Yeah.
But also those people don't often know how to play bridge in the
there's everyone. I feel like it's the same with like Whist, right?
Yeah.
Also, Whist is so dumb.
It's barely a game.
Whist is barely a game. So if you ever feel like when like playing or learning a new game, you can just learn Whist in literally 2 seconds flat.
Yep.
Anyway, Seth, known for keeping unkeepable hands.
I love it.
It's delightful.
Don't mulligan.
Why not?
Just keep it.
Just, do you
just
know what?
Keep it. YOLO.
As a person who has trouble shuffling decks, I get it.
We get it.
I've made mulligan decisions based on the fact that I didn't want to shuffle again. Which isn't great. Look, I'm not saying that that's good advice, but I've done it.
Yeah.
Maria, you can't tell me you haven't done it.
I don't think I ever have.
You don't think you have?
Maybe in Commander.
All right.
But not in the 60 cards.
I have for sure have.
Megan doesn't believe me. The thing about Seth is I remember him winning Ixalan.
Yeah.
And he was sitting there and he was turning his creature sideways and like kind of feeling like, oh, should I play my combat trick? Like he was very, very nervous. You could see as he was like getting ready to make the kill. And the opponent was just like, Seth, buddy, Seth, you got it. Shakes hands and is like, you
Pascal
won.
Maynard.
Pascal Maynard. Sorry. Yeah. You've got it. Like you've got the tournament. And you could see kind of like how nervous he was in that moment, despite doing so well in his career, despite already having that world championship under his belt. Yeah. And like, he's a player that plays, you know, from his gut, which I think is cool because not a lot of players play like that at this level. Seth Manfield.
Next up is Jan Merkel. He won the Rivals Gauntlet, the only player to get an invite out of that gauntlet.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it defeated none other than Kai on his way there.
Really cool stuff.
Yes. He won his first Pro Tour at 17, which was Pro Tour Kobe, and it was his very first Pro Tour.
That's so cool.
Very, very cool. He went through both the Challenger and the Rivals Gauntlet.
Yeah.
Because he didn't quite, like, he obviously didn't quite get there with the Challenger Gauntlet. Then, like, just ran
go
it back
to Rivals,
into the Rivals
away.
Gauntlet, defeated all of those people who had been from the MPL and Rivals who had been bumped into the Rivals Gauntlet.
That's
to secure
wild.
This invite. I talked to Simon Gertzen about Jan.
Yes.
And he said he remembers back when Jan won this Pro Tour, Pro Tour Kobe, like their friend had been there watching Jan play, and he just came back and was like, he's the speed at which he can like understand how fast things are developing is just like unprecedented.
Wow. That's so cool.
He said he's just like one of the most exceptionally talented players.
Yeah. And
that he knows.
Yeah. I know a lot of people, big fans of Jan Merkel, does well, has recently done well at so many tournaments.
Yeah.
Really happy to see him here at the World Championship. Noriyuki Mori is my favorite story of the tournament.
This is obviously like the champion of the Challenger Gauntlet. Like, yes, technically four people left with World Championship invites.
But really?
But Noriyuki Mori won the whole darn thing because he arrived with a homebrew Is It Control deck.
That
was so good that Jan Merkel played it.
Yes.
In the Rivals Gauntlet and won with it.
Yep. I mean, like, everybody was like, Standard's old, it's dead, put it in the ground, cover it with dirt. And Noriyuki Mori's like, but what if I showed up with this new deck that's running Midnight Clock? Yeah.
Has been playing less than 3 years, but has more than 25,000 games played.
Yep. Yep. That means 20% of his life.
Yeah. I remember his interview after winning the Challenger Gauntlet was basically like, what was it? He like sleeps for 8 hours, plays Magic for 8 hours.
And does research for 8 hours.
And does research for 8 hours.
Because he's working on some advanced degrees, of course.
Oh my goodness.
So yeah, just that's it. That's
just
his life.
Real casual, like, just blocked out 8 hours of Magic every day.
And the thing about him, too, is that when you watch him play, he's so calm. Yeah. He's just like, yeah, that's why you do it. Boom. Okay. I mean, like, it's... I'm just wondering if he's some kind of weird magic prodigy. That's just like, I figured this out. Took me a couple of years, but now I get it. And now I've broken.
Now he just gets
now
it.
Now I just get it. Yeah. Although it hasn't played any draft. So it'll be interesting to see if he can get draft under his belt before this tournament.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
Next up is Gabriel Nassif.
Oh, yellow hat.
Yes, a fan favorite for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Came in fourth in the MPL season. He was like right up there for the longest time, and it looked like maybe he wasn't going to get it after being so close.
So close.
But luckily, of course, he did, because he's also just an excellent player.
Yeah, Gab Nassif, old-time player, member of the Hall of Fame, has won two pro tours, 15 top finishes over his 20-year career, player of the year back in 2004.
Just wild.
I remember
absolutely
when
wild.
We started doing the Mythic Championships on Arena, kind of when Arena just came out, it was kind of like Gab was reinventing himself from a paper champion into an Arena player, started doing a stream. Everybody loves the stream, now a super popular Magic streamer. And it's like, I can win in paper. And guess what? I can also win on Arena. No big deal. Yeah. And of course, known for taking a long time to make his decisions.
Oh my goodness. You know, Gabe the Rope Nassif.
Yep, that's what we call him. That's what we call him.
What could have been better for making Gabe Nassif more popular than a physical, like a sign on the screen that shows that you are using too much time?
Like the only way it would have been better if it was a little yellow hat that slowly disintegrated over your turn phases. Up next, Sam Party, party time.
Yes. He got his invite via the Challenger Gauntlet. He was the winner of the Strixhaven Championship. And I know, like, it was so cool because going into the Challenger Gauntlet, I would say he was very confident.
Yeah.
And it's just awesome to see someone be very confident, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
Because he was just like, I'm working really hard at this right now. And like, I think I'm going to do it.
Yeah, Sam has been a player, like some of these, like Ely Cassis, played for a long time, been at so many Grand Prix, so many Pro Tours over the years, racked up 4 top finishes, including 15 Grand Prix top 8s and 2 wins. Whoa. That's a lot.
Just so many.
15 Grand Prix top 8s.
Yes.
Now, I don't know if a lot of your newer listeners, or if you haven't played a Grand Prix, it is not easy to make top 8 a Grand Prix, okay?
No, or to win the whole thing. He also has been to the World Championship twice before.
Yep.
Where once he did so badly that he should have technically gotten a negative pro point.
Oh, Sam.
Oh, which is just delightful. They wouldn't give it to him, even though he asked for it.
Please delete one of my pro points.
Please give me -1 pro point. And they're like, no.
Nobody.
Well, oh, well.
So maybe he can turn that luck around this tournament.
I think it would be great.
Next up, Keisuke Sato qualified through the Challenger Gauntlet, had to win 3 elimination matches in a row.
Yes, so he was the only player in that lower bracket, which, yeah, like you said, meant that he had to make his way all the way through that and then defeat, I want to say, Matty Kuisma.
Yeah,
is
I think
he
so.
Defeated.
Yeah.
Just a really impressive win there.
And I mean, having to be on the precipice 3 matches in a row.
Yes.
For
like
something
that many
good
times
the world.
Is how you could lose and be done.
Yeah, that's
really
a pressure
cool.
cooker. So real calm under pressure here. Has 2 Grand Prix top 8s. Likes to play aggro decks and vastly prefers constructed to limited. So this is a player that we've got our eye on for draft, because if they can get out of the draft portion with an okay record, then standard's going to feel a lot better heading into standard for the second portion of the tournament.
And this is really cool. Like, his journey to this moment started with an Arena qualifier weekend last December.
I know, right? It's just like...
Like, so many of these players, right, we talk about how we've seen them on this stage for forever.
Yeah.
And then there's players that, like, legitimately were just, like, won a qualifier weekend for the first time, and then here they are at the World Championship.
That blows the mind.
Really impressive
stuff.
Last
December, during the pandemic, I'll play this qualifier weekend. Almost a year later, I'm playing the World Championship.
Here I am at the World Championship.
What?
Very cool.
What?
Very cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, we got four more players here.
Yep, we've got Rei Sato, who, as we mentioned, was one of the players on that very good Jeskai Mutate list.
So cool.
He has 5 GP top 8s and 2 wins. And says he loves Limited.
Okay, so Rei. Maybe
he could have an edge going into this tournament against some of these players who are a little bit more constructed leaning.
Yeah, I'm interested to see because I don't know if we've really got to see Rei play any Limited, like in my recent memory anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm super excited to see what he does in draft because, again, coming out of draft, that good record sets you up for a great constructed run.
Yeah.
Especially if you bring a great deck with your Japanese testing team.
Yep. And he says he's super excited to play the World Championship with his 3 teammates who also made it.
Very cool.
Which, again, is just one of those stories. Like we keep saying, they just like routed everyone.
Yeah. I love it.
It was very impressive.
Matt Sperling is our next player to talk about. Got 3rd in the rival season. So again, didn't have to play any of those gauntlets. 4 top finishes to his name, 6 Grand Prix top 8s and 1 win.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. All right.
Sperling, known for his like highly analytical approach to the game.
I thought you were going to say for his highly controversial takes on Twitter.
Yeah, also known, of course, for his hot takes on Twitter.
Where he will fight you.
No hot takes, Matt Sperling, all hot takes.
All hot takes. Only hot takes, Sperling. Yep. I don't follow him on Twitter because I am absolutely incensed anytime he tweets anything, so...
We run the gamut here in the World Championship
of
players of staying off Twitter and like making the most of it, question mark.
Is that what he's doing?
I don't know. What are you supposed to do on Twitter?
I don't know.
Is it a hot take machine?
You're supposed to stay off of it.
Follow us at GLH of Magic. Next up is Andre Strosky. We talked about Checkhouse teammate at the top of this episode.
And he was 1st in this MPL season.
Yeah, took it down.
He kind of like also like snuck up on it. It kind of seemed like Paolo and Gabe were at the top of the standings for a long time. But then it came time to that weekend where they're like, okay, the winner of this weekend or the person at the top of the standings this weekend gets the invite. And Andre Strosky just came and was like...
Excuse me, I'll take that. Thank you. And it's so funny because Andre is another one of the quieter players.
Yeah.
Who's very soft-spoken. 4 top finishes. He won Mythic Championship number 6, 5 GP top 8s and 1 win to his name.
Classically, there was a point in time at which he was like, I'm going to retire.
Yep.
And then he just... didn't because he was winning.
This is a funny, I think Andre's story is the funniest retirement story because he's like, I retire. He comes back and almost wins the next event he plays.
Yeah.
And then he does well in like the next 3 events or something like that. And we're like,
it culminates with winning Mythic Championship 6.
Yep. And you're like, come on.
And you're like, okay, sure. Retirement. That's what it looks like.
That's it right there. And finally, last player, Yuta Takahashi.
Yes. Yuta was 4th in the rivals season.
Yeah.
Had 3 top finishes and 14 GP top 8s.
Jeez.
Whew, 14.
Yuta Takahashi, best known for the fairies deck in Modern.
Oh, yeah. Yes, fairies. So there's a lot of current fairies fan. And back in the day, fairies. Very, very good.
Yeah, this is a very cool tempo deck from a million years ago. And Yuta was the person who played fairies, won multiple Modern GPs playing this fairies deck, and is kind of like the biggest fairies champion still today. So it's like, hey, Yuta.
Number one fan.
Let's get you known for something other than fairies, you know?
Sure.
What about this? What about World Championship?
What about a World Championship?
So another old school player playing since 98. In this championship, what an incredible mix of people we have.
Yeah, it really is.
Seriously, we have all these old school players who have like super, their mantles are just like, they've caved in because the trophies
on them.
There's
so many trophies on them. But then players who are very new, like chomping on the bit, ready to race, ready to go.
Let's go.
I think it's going to be a great world championship.
I'm so excited. Yeah. Everybody check it out. Twitch.tv/magic Friday through Sunday, draft and standard starting at 9 a.m. Pacific. And, it's just going to be a cool time.
Oh yeah.
Brand new standard too.
Yep. Maria, it looks okay. So there was an SCG qualifier last weekend.
Yes.
Big story coming out of that is mono green.
Mono green.
Thanks to Issika's Chariot.
Issika's Chariot, Renin 7, those two together is just...
Just seems like they're providing a little bit of a beating.
It's a very, very good deck.
So I wonder what's going to happen.
Me too.
It's a big question, right? Like what's going to happen.
That is, you know.
Is it going to be mono green, or are there going to be, we do have a lot of really incredible deck brewers.
Yeah.
Here we've talked about Stan Sifka and the Czech House.
Yeah.
Noriyuki Mori, who showed up with a homebrew deck that just beat everybody. All of the players who came with Jeskai Mutate, right? Which was like an out of left field. So we do have a record of players in this tournament who have brought decks that were out, like not on the radar of the metagame, but turned out to be exceptionally good.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm hoping for, because this mono green deck, it's everywhere on the ladder right now.
Yeah.
If you're playing it, and it's just so good on every axis. Right? Normally you're like, oh, I can, a creature deck is winning. Great. I'll play a control deck and it'll sweep and kill everything and whatever.
Yeah.
But it has ways around that that you can't deal with. Asika's Chariot will still be sitting there.
It's still just out there waiting.
Renin 7 is going to come down and make a huge beater out of nowhere. And then your kitty cat is going to copy that and you're going to get hit for 10.
It's happened to me.
Yeah.
But a lot of people also like this Is It Epiphany deck too. Yeah. So that might have a showing here at this tournament. Those are kind of the two decks that most people talk about right now. Mono Green and Is It Epiphany. So we'll see if we can get something else into the mix there for you.
I'm excited.
I've been trying to find it.
I hope that we get to see some really, no matter what, we're going to see some very good Magic played.
Yes, for sure.
That's
a without guarantee. Saying. Yeah. Yeah. I've been trying to play mono black, black white. I've been trying everything, everybody.
Oh, Maria.
But it's just really hard to beat a cat, because I just don't want to kill a cat first off.
No, nobody does.
Second off, the deck's really good.
Oh, man. Okay. So yesterday, there's a new person living upstairs from me, and they moved in, which is delightful. My old upstairs neighbors really sucked. Anyways, met her. She seems super nice. She also has a cat. And I was like, I have a cat named Molly.
Great.
Anyways, not her cat, but I had like Molly was like sitting out in the front yard with me. And this other cat that I've never met before comes by.
New cat alert?
And they hiss at each other so much that they're both freaking out.
Aww.
It was a hiss fest. And then this new neighbor comes downstairs and it's her first time meeting Molly. And I was like, I'm sorry she's making such a bad impression, but I don't know where this other cat came from.
Molly and this cat obviously have some history.
It really seems
history.
Like
history.
I think she just hates other new cats. And this cat seemed like once she started hissing at them, they were like, no.
Yeah, I mean,
we'll see what happens.
One of my cats, upon meeting a new cat, peed his pants. He was so scared.
That was not her reaction at all. She was, if anything, my cat was trying to make this other cat so afraid it peed its pants.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. A cat like my cat would have, you know, acquiesced, peed his pants. Hey, everybody. Let's thank Ultra Pro for being one of our awesome sponsors.
That's right. Ultra Pro, we've talked about so much cool stuff because they constantly have cool new stuff coming out.
All the time.
Their new Eclipse Dice, which we showed off.
Yeah, they're behind me right now.
They're so good. They're
really
shiny.
Awesome.
You get so many of them. You get all of the different kinds that you need. They have these amazing sleeves.
Yeah, we're showing off some werewolf sleeves here with the Equinox treatment art.
Oh, so cool.
This 100.
They have the double-sided Arlen playmat and sleeves. Oh, it's just all so good.
You know, it's just like neat to see this art too from the perspective of a larger canvas.
Yeah.
To see this because you don't
get to see the whole thing.
Normally see this on a card because you have the text and all the text box and everything. So
in the frame, you just get to look at
check it. Check it out. You just see it. And these werewolf ones are super sweet. So if you have a deck that needs some werewolf sleeves, check it out. Ultra Pro has got you covered.
If you've got a deck that needs werewolf sleeves, tell us in the comments of the YouTube video why your deck needs werewolf sleeves.
Yeah.
And we'll send out a couple.
We'll send them to you.
Yeah.
So just, leave us a comment. Let us know.
And we'll pick however many werewolf sleeves we've got.
Anyway, I also want to say quick that we have now started mailings for everybody who donated to the Planned Parenthood fundraiser.
Yeah.
So we've done about half. So we've got about half to do. So.
And all of our shipping is now 100% recyclable because we bought some paper tape. And
the paper tape saga.
The paper tape saga. Maria risked her very life to go and get the appropriate dispenser for it.
Yeah, you have to get a special dispenser.
From a stranger.
That like licks the tape.
Yeah.
So that it sticks because it has to be wet.
Yeah.
The dispenser's from 1932.
Amazing. So just know when you hold a box from Good Luck High Five,
yep,
you're holding a piece of history.
Everybody, that's this episode of Good Luck High Five for you.
That's right. Thank you so much again to everyone who is a patron, everyone who became a patron in this past week.
Yes.
And to our two wonderful sponsors, Card Kingdom and Ultra Pro.
Head on over to patreon.com/GLHF before next episode. We'll read your name and immortalize it in audio.
That's right.
And you'll also feel so cool for supporting content that you consume. $1.25 an episode.
Yeah.
We love having you here, and we hope that you love having us here too. So donate, become a member of our family. We'd love to see you become a patron.
And check out the World Championship.
World Championship.
This weekend.
Hello.
It's gonna be a wild time, man.
Get yourself some nacho cheese or Cool Ranch Doritos. Sit down.
Be prepared to not breathe near anybody because apparently they just smell the worst of anything ever, Marianne.
And get ready to see Draft for the first time in a high-level tournament on Arena.
Woo! I'm very excited.
There is no way for me to tell you how excited I am because words have not been invented.
Woo! You could Shakespeare and invent some.
Ooh, okay. I'm burswoggled about it.
Oh, you too can be burswoggled about it this weekend.